April 22nd. It seems to me almost useless to go on writing after having said everything, but you entreat me to write the things which impress me most, and I obey. It is the evening of Holy Thursday, and speaking of Jesus, I thus do not get distracted from him, but, rather, concentrate on him. I shall tell you, then, how I have spent these last 24 hours. Last night you saw I was exhausted. I really was exhausted. But when I reach the end of human resistance, and give anyone seeing me the impression that I am a poor soul unable even to think, it is precisely then that I get, shall I say, illuminations. Last night I had read the newspaper, then, tired of that too, I had closed my eyes and remained so lethargic. Mentally I suddenly saw a very rocky, arid terrain. It looked like the top of a knoll, resembling so many to be seen on our hills. Devoid of vegetation, abounding only in rocks and rough, whitish flint, it was entirely surrounded by a vast horizon. Right at the top a plant with violets, had arisen the only living thing in the midst of such desolation. I distinctly saw the very thick, closely pressed tuft of the leaves, as if to offer resistance to the winds pounding the summit. A few violet buds, more or less open, were sticking out their little heads from the green cluster. But there was only one completely open, lovely in full color, open, and stretching out towards the sky. It was its standing so upright, as if attracted by a special force, that caught my attention, and made my gaze start searching. And I saw a big board driven into the ground. It looked like a trunk that had just been planed, almost unhewn and rough. Half a meter above the ground, perhaps less, were two transfixed feet. I saw those alone last night. Two tortured feet. And the fact that they had been harshly tortured was conveyed by their being contracted, with the toes nearly bent towards the soles, as with the spasms of tetanus. Some blood, trickling along the heels, was falling onto the rough board and streaming down to the ground. Other drops were falling from the contracted toes, and raining down upon the cluster of violets. That was what the little violet, leaning entirely upwards, was stretching out to. To that blood, which, nourished her, as, in the midst of such desolate ground, it nourished that solitary tuft, capable of emerging in opposition to that wood. That sight told me many things, and when you came, I was in the process of seeing that sign, which was my sermon for Wednesday of Holy Week. That figure has not vanished. They do not readily vanish. They remain clearly in the brain, even if habitual things prevail over them, or try to prevail. Then, this morning, even before you came, I glimpsed the rest of the body. I say glimpsed, because it appeared and disappeared before me, as if among the undulations of veils of mist. It was much clearer on other occasions. But then he looked dead to me. Now he seems to be alive. And I think it is a great mercy of Jesus, not to show his face to me today. Jesus is so pained, his sadness over all the human iniquity, that does not tire of being such but, rather, becomes increasingly iniquitous, has reached such a deep intensity, that we could not bear the expression on his divine face without dying of sorrow. Jesus, my master, with his soundless word, tells me that more than ever my place is at the foot of his cross. I must draw life from his blood alone, and my task is only that of being incense at the foot of his throne as Redeemer. Incense which, with its fragrance, covers the stench of sin, wickedness, and cruelty exhaled by the earth. Incense does not give off fragrance except by burning and being consumed. And I must do the same. He also tells me that the flower can attract other gazes to his cross, bend other creatures under the rain of his blood. This is the flower's task in regard to her neighbor and God. Loving reparation to Jesus and attraction to Jesus of many hearts, by agreeing to live for this purpose in an arid desert, alone with the cross. I could say that I remained with my lips pressing against those transfixed feet, as if drinking at a fountain which is at once freshness and ardor. A spiritual sensation, but so vivid, that it seems real. Then this morning, at 10, I got a letter from Rome from a sister of mine, a letter I will show to you in which there is mention precisely of this mission at the foot of the cross, and with the letter there is enclosed an inscription. May my prayer rise up like incense in your sight. I have taken all of this as a silent discourse of my Jesus for his little host consuming herself gradually more from love than from illness. I recall that tomorrow is Good Friday, the day of days for me. I would like to add sacrifices to sacrifices, to make it an authentic day of expiation. But Maria can do so few things now. Moreover, tomorrow Jesus may take care of giving me my share of expiatory pain. I remain here, tightly bound to the cross. It is the place of the Marys, besides. That way not even a nod by my Redeemer will escape me. Footnotes. Of Maria Voltorta, Autobiography, Isola dell'Airi, Italy. Centro Editoriale Voltoriano, 1991, translated by David G. Murray, page 15. Asterisk this refers to Father Romualdo M. Migliarini, whom the author addresses below and very frequently in her writings. Born in Valegno, Lucca, in 1884, he entered the Order of the Servants of Mary in 1900, and was ordained a priest in 1908. Until 1911 he exercised his priestly ministry in Italy. Then he was named a pastor in Canada, and later entered the missions in South Africa, where he became the regular superior and apostolic prefect. Returning to Italy in 1939, he was the prior of the convent of St. Andrew in Viareggio, where he devoted himself to an untiring apostolate, especially during and after the war. Around 1942 he went to it the infirm Maria Voltorta, and became her spiritual director and a witness to her writings, which he zealously typed up, attempting the first dissemination of them. But in 1946 he had to withdraw to Rome, where he confided to his brother in religion, Father Corrado M. Berti, the existence of Maria Voltorta. After increasing sufferings, he died in Carsoli, L'Aquila, in 1952.